Would you please tell me your name?
Jerry Campbell.
Jerry, what company are you working for?
H.E. Goldberg & Company, Seattle, Washington.
And you're based in Seattle then?
That's right.
Do you travel very much buying fur?
I travel probably 7 of the 12 months of the year throughout Alaska and 5 or 6 northwestern states.
What are the 5 or 6 states that you travel in besides Alaska?
Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Utah are basically the areas that we cover.
Is there trapping activity in all of those states?
Very heavy trapping activity all over the West.
Are the furs the same in those northwestern states as in Alaska?
Some species are similar and the same, and we have many species from there that are not found in Alaska and vice versa. As an example, lynx are not found in the lower 48, only in Canada and Alaska. And this year, lynx has been the primary item for trappers to go after in Alaska due to the market advance that has been higher than ever before.
What kinds of furs predominate in the lower 48 states?
I would say beaver, muskrat, otter, lynx cats, coyotes, mink in large quantities, both ranch raised and wild. Some amounts of red fox and cross fox. That's the main items that are found down there.
When do you start your traveling and which states do you hit first?
The majority of my travel is in Washington and Oregon, which is conducted through November, December, and January, and parts of February. And then, of course, in March, we come to Alaska and spend from March and April, usually through the 1st of May, in Alaska buying.
So you're here 3 months, just about?
Oh, it varies from 2 to 3 months. Some years a little longer than other years, depending on market conditions and so forth.
Where do you travel in Alaska when you're up here?
I base myself primarily in Fairbanks and travel up and down the Yukon River. I go as far west normally as Nulato, as far east as Chokitsik, up and down the highway and to the Canadian border, and sometimes down as far as the Glen Allen area on the highway, and down the road to Nenana, and fly out to Minto and some of these closer villages to Fairbanks.
Is there adequate warning in the villages before you come so that people know to prepare the skins, the pelts?
Usually I have methods of getting word to the villages through various contacts that I have around. Some of the bush pilots carry the word for me. Some trappers carry it by the famous Muckluck Telegraph. And we normally are announced ahead of time. On some occasions, we just go in without any advance word, but there's normally furs to be bought most any time during the season.
How often do you report back to the Seattle office about the furs you're buying up here?
This will vary considerably. Normally, it's just a case of making a shipment when I have sufficient quantity to ship. Changes in market conditions are reported normally to me from them so that I can make adjustments accordingly. I sometimes contact them with regard to problems I encounter from trappers asking various prices so that I can have guidance as to whether or not to meet these prices.
Let me talk now about just about the furs that you're buying here in Alaska. What kind of quality furs are you looking for during this year?
Primarily, when we come here in the spring, we are basically looking for beaver because this is the height of the beaver season. There are still considerable amounts of lynx around. However, portions of the lynx now are past prime. There are still many prime skins available, but also we find many substandard skins starting to show up at the tail end of the season. We buy all furs of any description, but beaver is the primary interest, and muskrats probably is a secondary interest since they are just starting to come in quantity now too. All furs do have a market value, and we try to attempt to buy anything that the trapper might have at whatever it's worth.
How do you like to see the beaver pelts prepared for your buying?
Well, of course, they have to be all stretched and dried, preferably stretched round, which is the customary handling in the United States. Some parts of Canada tend to handle their beaver in an oval shape, but the United States has better marketing results with round stretched beaver. This is how I find them all.
Is there excessive grease on any of your skins, or are they very well washed?
We discourage handling of this type and, in fact, discount for it whenever we run across skins handled inferior methods. Then we will discount and advise the trapper that he can receive better prices for better handling.
Have you found that there's any difference between those beaver that are trapped in steel traps and those that are snared?
The snare is, of course, one of the more popular traps in Alaska, and we find that occasionally a pelt can be damaged simply because the animal is not immediately drowned and will fight in the snare and therefore tends to rub himself and damage the fur. This case does not exist normally with a steel trap taken animal because it's done primarily quite differently, and you don't encounter the same problem. I would say that probably the steel trap in some areas is superior, but they do not lend themselves very well to trapping in Alaska because of weather conditions and so on.
Can you tell me the grades of beaver that are generally accepted by the Goldberg Company? Are there grades?
Well, yeah, there's first quality, of course, and then you have second quality, and then thirds. It's a degree of damage or perfection, whichever the case may be. Either a beaver is undamaged and of good quality fur-wise, or he might have some slight damage, or he might have considerable damage, which, of course, lowers him down one more grade each time the severity of damage gets greater.
Does the market price remain constant throughout the season, or are there fluctuations in the price of the beaver skins?
This varies every year. We're much like the stock market. Some years we stay rather stagnant as far as movement up or down, and other years it fluctuates quite a bit. This year has been definitely a rise from before. However, there's always a possibility of further changes. Right now we're enjoying a very high market.
Are there other, I assume there are other trapping and other buying going on. Does this influence what's happening here in Alaska?
I didn't catch that question. Many other markets can have influence simply because there are a limited number of dollars within the fur industry that is allotted to buying quantities of various types of fur. And therefore, when a quantity of fur appears in the market any place in the world, it can have an ultimate result in what is going to be paid in the future, simply by whether or not this will plug the market up or cause people to have sufficient quantity in their own hands so that they need not buy more. This will have some bearing on what the future markets could be. In some instances, there's unlimited demand and not sufficient quantity to satisfy this, and of course prices are driven up. In other cases, certain species are produced in quantity to the extent that it will sooner or later overshadow the amount of investment dollars available.
Has this happened with any fur-bearing animal this year?
Well, as an example, there have been some downward trends in certain items. Lynx, for one, have reached all-time highs during midwinter, and now they are starting to slowly ease down. Still representing very good prices, but not nearly as high as they were during the months of January and February. This is the one outstanding basic item concerning Alaska trappers. Foxes also are starting to decline somewhat, but this is based generally on the quality of the goods because most foxes are past prime by now.
Since you arrive in the state around March, what should the trapper do that's trapping early in the year and has skinned some of the early part of the year?
Well, of course, there are a number of buyers who operate in Alaska all year long. Some trappers prefer to do this. Others, of course, would prefer to ship to a more primary market. And our own company receives shipments direct all year long, as well as many other companies in the trade. Most everyone in the fur industry is in a position to deal direct on a shipment basis. This would be the suggestion I would have to get primary market results, which is the best prices. You probably should get to the primary source of market, and I would say Seattle is in a position to be the primary market for the state of Alaska.
How should a trapper ship his furs to Seattle?
Most trappers tend to prefer parcel post. However, they can be shipped by air parcel post or air freight. It's generally not a good idea to use truck lines or things like that. They would be somewhat too slow. You do not want to have delay in shipment because this could cost money in the event of a market decline or some change.
I'd like to ask now, once you have the furs, once the Goldberg Company in this case has furs on hand, what's the procedure that the company follows then? What do they do with the furs?
We collect the furs from the trappers in small quantities, and then we reassort them and combine all of our purchases into one major lot.
Mr. Campbell, can you tell me what happens to the furs once the Goldberg Company purchases them?
We buy furs from the trapper in smaller lots, and then we accumulate them in our warehouse and reassort them in one major lot of each species in grade, and then we can offer to our customers in quantity a specific grade or volume of furs in whatever particular item they are interested in buying. Most customers that we deal with would not be in a position to buy direct from trappers because they are only interested in buying in rather large quantities and in some cases only specific grades or sizes and not all grades and sizes as we do as the primary collector.
Who are the buyers that are most interested in the large lots?
I would say 80-85% of our business is done directly with European accounts, which range from Italy, Germany, England, Switzerland, Spain, and France. Not necessarily in their order of importance, but all of these countries are represented in our portfolio of customers. And we will probably do another 10% with Canadian accounts, generally in the East Coast, around Montreal, where their big manufacturing centers are located. And the other 5% will probably stay in our own United States. We, in the wild fur business, are depending a great deal, as you can see, on Europe's economy to sustain our wild fur industry. And the United States fur industry is still preoccupied in ranch-raised mink, and have been for a number of years. There is some indication that this might be somewhat slowly changing, but at present they are not a significant factor.
Would you say that the Europeans are using the furs for clothing and things like this?
They're making generally all types of high-style furs, and also in recent years fun furs have become a very important outlet for furs being used in the country. It has made furs appealing to a broader range of people. It has appealed more to the young because of their styles of being not so high style, more casual, dressy, and smart appearance.
What does the Goldberg Company do anything with the furs that they sell within the United States or to European markets?
No, we sell them raw the same way that we buy them. There is, in fact, quite a duty involved in trying to export dressed furs into Europe. There's a large duty, and if they import them into Europe in the raw state, then there is little or no duties involved. So it's primarily just an arrangement of assorting the goods and being able to offer the right class of goods to the certain customer in mind.
Are these public auctions which take place in Seattle at a certain time of year, or is it just a notice sent out to the different people interested in buying furs?
Anyone could attend these. Generally speaking, though, they are attended by primary buyers from all around the world, both European and American, inasmuch as the auction sales do consist of both ranch-raised mink being auctioned as well as wild furs. And they are attended primarily by all buyers who are interested in buying any type of fur for their manufacturing outlets.
Mr. Campbell, can you tell me about next year? Do you think that this will be a good year for trappers?
No one can really forecast in advance what a coming season's market will be until a much closer proximity to the actual trapping season. I would say my advice to all trappers would be, as a matter of course, probably about November, to contact themselves with as many fur outlets as possible and get price lists which are published and supplied by most fur dealers to determine what's going on in the current market and to gauge their activities accordingly as to whether or not they intend to trap in accordance with what they expect to receive on the current markets. Many trappers, particularly in Alaska, tend to be isolated from current information and therefore sometimes either over-trap or under-trap in absolute reverse of what the actual market conditions are. Therefore, it would behoove them, I think, to find out before they go out trapping exactly what animals should be sought and where they can achieve the best market results.
There's a good example, I think, this year in the lynx prices, perhaps. If a trapper had learned early in the season that there were good lynx prices, that would have helped, I think, in the trapping, wouldn't it have?
Yes, it would. However, in the very early beginning, prices were nowhere near as high as they were in February. We had constant raises from November clear through into February, and it was almost a weekly situation of constant raise. This is a very unusual situation that is not often found in the fur trade. But nonetheless, a trapper sometimes can work to his advantage by keeping himself informed currently on what is going on. In some other rare instances, this will actually occur in reverse effect, where you will begin a season with a very high price on something and you will have constant declines as seasons go on. This also would prevent a trapper from becoming disappointed if he keeps himself informed and therefore curtails his trapping activity. Both of these instances are unusual and don't often occur, but it is to advantage to keep advised.
Can you tell me about the effect of the Canadian trappers on the fur market?
Canadian trapping will have an effect of controlling market to the extent that when they are trapping in volume, they are able to produce considerable quantities of just about all species found in Canada, which are also found in Alaska. And when they are able to produce these in big volumes, it naturally has an effect on overall market received all over the world, simply because it can, in fact, at times overproduce for the market's ability to consume the number of animals produced.